Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And listeners, I have got a special treat for you today. So this next guest is kind of was like a shining star in my journey. You know, it took me 7 years to get my diagnosis. And then when I got it, what did we do? We Google, right? I Google, and this man was pretty much the only thing that popped up all over the screen. And I thought, okay, I got to follow him. Let me find out what he's all about. And so I actually had the honor of meeting him last year. I had him as a guest on my other podcast, and he's just so full of so much amazing information. And he also had Lyme himself. So I really wanted to welcome him back, chat again with him, but we're going to change it up a little bit this time. So, you know, I follow things along social media and what people talk about and things that they say, and there's a lot of stuff going around right now because it's May. It's, you know, Lyme Disease Awareness Month. So one of the things that gets brought up all the time is, oh yeah, Lyme disease, that's a rich person's disease. And you know what? It's not. And that's one of the reasons why I do what I do in the Lyme community, is because it was like that for me. It was my financial demise, Lyme disease was. And it's not fair, and it shouldn't be, and it doesn't need to be. So me and this guest, we're going to kind of break it all down and talk about all the stuff and why we can do it and why people can get better, and it doesn't have to cost you your livelihood of your finances. So I am extremely welcoming this guest back. Super excited to have him. So welcome back, Dr. Rawls.
Oh, thank you for having me, Tanya. It's a pleasure.
So fun talking to you last time. So I'm super excited. And I, you know, we talked a little bit about before the show about what should we talk about? You know, let's kind of change things up a little bit. And I know that I love all the things, the way you think and stuff and kind of do your practice, and you think really outside the box. So we kind of came up with this idea together, and I'm loving it. So I'm super excited about it. So where do you want to start? Because I'm sure this probably played a little bit of role into your own personal journey, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, this is, you said this is why you do what you do. This is why I do what I do too. And this is why I created all the protocols and put out all the information that I do, because of meeting so many people that have been financially ruined, but not helped by this Lyme journey. And then I compare that to my own journey and realize that many of the things that they're doing aren't necessary. Some of them are downright flawed and really don't match the solution to the problem. And so treatment, overcoming Lyme disease, chronic Lyme disease here we're talking about, doesn't have to be, shouldn't have to be expensive. It's all how you go about it. And that's the big important thing that I found and in my journey too was so important.
Yeah. And I think that's huge. It's, you know, I can see kind of both sides or all sides of it, if you want to call it that. You know, because some of us, it takes us forever to get a diagnosis, right? And we get this diagnosis and we're so desperate that we'll listen to anyone and do anything that they say. And unfortunately, there are, well, just in general in the world, there's a lot of people that thrive off of taking advantage of other people, just in general, right? And then we bring that topic into the Lyme community, and it happens there too, and it's heartbreaking. But we don't know who to trust. We don't know what modality to buy. We don't know, you know, and it's not a cut and dry thing for sure. And I don't want the listeners to think that, right? Like, do this one thing and you're going to get better, because that's not the way it is. But you're going to share some great ideas for sure with us.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, this journey we're all on, the solution is knowledge, you know, and that's what I do, is try to educate people. Right now, I'm in the process of creating courses, and I've written books, and everything that I can do to outfit people with the knowledge increases their ability to make good decisions. and not be a passive bystander in that recovery process. And I think that just happens all the time, that the person ends up being this passive bystander. Here, you know, you stand over in the corner, I'm going to do things for you or give things to you or write prescriptions for you, and you just sit there. And what I found is that's not how wellness happens. You know, I actually found a study one time that was looking at what it would take to overcome chronic illness of any kind. And the conclusion in this study was 90% of that comes outside a doctor's office. And it's very much what the person does. And so my model for how I deal with not only chronic Lyme disease, but chronic illness in general, is very much based on that philosophy. And it comes from my journey. And so I think it's really important just to realize that there is another pathway. And it's pretty simple. And you follow that pathway and really stick to it, and the chances of a good outcome are quite high. And it's not expensive.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, when I say that you were kind of the light in my world when I figured this out, because back then, so I got diagnosed in 2015, and it was either April or the very beginning of May, because I know within like a week I went to some Lyme disease awareness event, and like it just kind of just all happened. And because I was gaslit in the medical community for 7 years, hearing what you offered, and you had all these free webinars, you were doing all these amazing things even back then, and I just jumped in on all of them, and listening to you talk about non-traditional treatments, right? Like not going to the doctor and doing antibiotics. I'm like, well, what is this all about? I don't know. But I certainly need to investigate, because right now I don't have a lot of confidence in the medical field, right? It was just, true. You know, we do need to be our own advocate, and we need to be trusting of people that are willing to share information like you do, but also be wary, you know, think. And it is hard, sure, because a lot of our brains, they're not functioning at full capacity, if even at all, you know? And so, so I truly just appreciate you and what you do in the community, and that we can trust you
and how you
throw all that in, right?
Sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Stopping here, I would just say that anybody with a broad range of debilitating symptoms, heart symptoms, brain symptoms, gut symptoms, etc., they need a workup with a conventional doctor, and they're probably going to be referred to a wide range of specialists, and they're probably going to be issued various kinds of prescriptions, some of which may work a little, but most will just have side effects. But people need to do that. And the reason is because there are things that are hidden that can mask those symptoms, like brain tumors or significant heart scarring, blocked vessels, those kinds of things that could potentially be life-threatening. So I'm not advocating that people sit on their hands and do all of this on their own. I do think that that initial workup with a conventional doctor is valuable, and that's what the medical system does best. But most people who end up in a category of fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, chronic Lyme disease, really autoimmunity, a lot of chronic illnesses, aren't going to have much come out of that big evaluation. And they're going to be left stuck holding a handful of prescriptions, and that's about it. And as far as, what's the difference between fibromyalgia and chronic Lyme disease? The person with chronic Lyme somehow figured out a way to get a positive Lyme test. In my opinion, that's the only difference. Someone with those kinds of symptoms, though, as we will talk through in this broadcast, they all have common roots. And once you start understanding what is actually going on inside the body, you realize that a lot of the testing that is done and a lot of the therapies are misguided, and they really don't give the person anything that they can really hang their hat on and move forward with.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to back up just a second when you said that when we need to go and do these workups, right? And I think that's a very important thing to point out, because we can get very deluded in just thinking, oh, everything is Lyme, which chances are a lot of it is, right? But yeah, let's get checked out. You know, there's a time and place for traditional doctors. If I have a heart attack, please fix me, right? And so I totally believe that and agree with that we should do that. But then, yeah, like you said, things don't come back and you're getting these random things and they're pushing the pills on you. That's when you need to truly become your own advocate and go down, you know, another road for it. But definitely important, yeah, information to share.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's really valuable. But, you know, my journey is unique because I am a conventionally trained physician. I went down all of this path, and I was in the unusual situation of not being able to afford all the kinds of therapies that people go out and get. And that forced me to see things differently. So, like most people, I developed a range of debilitating symptoms, but not around the time of a tick bite. It was after years of taking obstetrics call in the hospital every second to third night, like 20 years of doing that, I was sleep deprived. And my body started breaking down, and I went through the gamut of conventional doctors, really got nowhere but a handful of prescriptions, ended up with a diagnosis of fibromyalgia because nothing else fit. I harbored that idea of the possibility of Lyme disease in the back of my head, but tests were negative. So I kept on with that and lived in just this state of managed illness, with every day waking up with symptoms and dragging through every day and every night. It forced me to have to leave the practice that I was in and stop doing obstetrics. But I didn't have a diagnosis to get disability, so I had to keep working. So I started a primary care practice in a small town. And that was a big financial burden for years. Right at the time that I had, you know, a mortgage and kids going to college and everything else. So, and I had to cover the practice, so I couldn't go off chasing therapies and seeing Lyme doctors and all of this sort of thing. I had to bring things to me and figure it out. And it was about that time, this was around 2005, I read Stephen Booner's book about healing Lyme using an herbal protocol to overcome Lyme. And I thought, you know, I don't think it's going to work, but I don't have any other choice, and I'm going to try it. So it was like handfuls of herbal capsules every day. And long story short, over a period of about 3 to 5 years taking the herbs, all the symptoms resolved completely. Over that time, though, I was using my body as a guinea pig, and I was learning from it and just pouring into the research to really ask that question, what causes not just chronic Lyme disease, which we think is a microbe, but what's causing all of chronic illness? And that put me in a very different position, and I've been building on that ever since, now for 20 years, and I've been healthy for 15 out of that 20 years. Yay. And just keep tweaking that formula. So I've been refining the same formula. It's a simple, simple formula that you can apply to literally anything, and it works. And, you know, people are always like, one size fits all, one formula for everything. But I can tell you, if you're interested, exactly why it is so important.
Yeah, of course I am. But I have a question for you.
All right.
So you were in the traditional field, which I just think was the most amazing job ever, to deliver babies. Really? Like, oh my gosh, what an amazing thing.
It was
thing.
Pretty cool.
I'm sure
but
it was.
But not at 3 in the morning.
No,
when
right.
I hit about
and on call
47.
All the time. Yeah, for sure. So my question to you, so you're in this traditional role, right, in the medical field. And when you got your Lyme diagnosis and you figured out to do the Buhner protocol and it was all these herbal things, was that like a new thing for you? Was that you thinking outside the box? Or why did you not go to traditional antibiotics? What made you do this herbal protocol?
Well, I did. And quite frankly, this diagnosis of Lyme disease, I got it on the sly. I mean, it's, you know, small town doctor, you don't want people to think you have peculiar things. And I was well aware of the stigma that Lyme disease carried, especially at that time. So even though I had this in the back of my mind as a possibility, I did not let that out. And I did, you know, most of the testing myself or through a physician friend who did the testing for me. And once I had that, I did several rounds of different kinds of antibiotics. And every time, the antibiotics just made me sicker. I didn't do IV antibiotics. I couldn't afford it. That cost a fortune.
Yeah.
I've since come to appreciate that that's a really bad answer when you understand the problem. And herbs are really the perfect solution for the problem once you understand the problem. So antibiotics made me sicker. And here I was, I couldn't really tell anybody what was going on with me because
you can't if, be a doctor if, and you know, be sick doctor, and treat
people.
People
find out the doctor's sick, they don't want to see that doctor.
Yep.
So I had to hide it, like a lot of people. And it was, so I was doing this all kind of on the sly.
Yeah.
You know, I was
antibiotics probably wouldn't be.
And I wasn't telling anybody until in this new practice, I found things that started working for me. And then I started really trying to share this. And I started doing lectures and talks around the community and just let people know, you know, this is important without really saying, yeah, you know, I'm still struggling with this thing. I'm still trying to figure it out. I was trying to share everything that I learned. And so as I learned everything that I learned, I shared with my patients. You know, I did a lot of writing. In the very beginning, I started writing so much that I would give patients a disc with all this content to send them home and, you know, learn, do all this stuff and take these herbs and, you know, let's see what we can do for you. And it wasn't just chronic Lyme. You know, I remember one of my first patients that really decided, yeah, I'll do this crazy thing this doctor has, was a patient with multiple sclerosis that came in on a wheelchair. And it's like she hadn't had success with the drugs. She was really frustrated. And it's like, well, you know, what I'm talking about is herbs and diet and things that really aren't going to hurt you. I mean, you can try them. I don't know what it's going to do for you. Then 6 weeks, she was walking with a cane out of the wheelchair. So we're not just talking about chronic Lyme here. These things hit at the fundamental roots of all chronic illness.
Yeah, I do. There's so much similarity when it comes to it, right? Like chronic illness, chronic Lyme, give it whatever title you want, right? Like it's a chronic illness that we need to get to the root, fix it, and get better.
Yeah.
And I think you can do that along with, you know, we can talk about any disease for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so break it down for us. Break it down.
Okay, well, when you look at the human body, it looks pretty complicated, right? There are thousands and thousands and thousands of processes that are going on inside the body all the time, right? The process of our heart beating, the process of brain impulses firing, the process of hormones balancing functions in the body. All of these are processes, and all of these processes can become dysfunctional. So if you look at chronic illness, any chronic illness, it has two components. One is dysfunctional processes. So dysfunctional processes are not present in well people. The normal things break down and become dysfunctional, and that's what chronic illness is. But then the other component is the forces that are driving those dysfunctional processes, right? So signs and symptoms are evidence of those dysfunctional processes, you know. So when you have symptoms, that's an indication. Something's wrong in your body, and what you can't feel, the doctor can sometimes find, or we can do lab tests for. Those are all indications of dysfunctional processes. So one of the things that we do in conventional medicine that falls short is we treat dysfunctional processes almost exclusively. We treat dysfunctional processes with drugs because medical therapies only address dysfunctional processes. They're inhibiting these processes to reduce symptoms and slow progression of the disease. But no drugs get at the root causes of the illness. And this is even true of chronic Lyme, that when you look at chronic Lyme, that's not the same thing as acute Lyme. All right? Yep. So acute Lyme is when a bacteria, or often many bacteria, enter your body through a tick bite. And often people don't get sick because these are pretty low-grade pathogens, quite frankly. Acute Lyme disease where people get sick is unusual. Most people don't get sick. Most people don't even have symptoms. And what happens is the bacteria can enter your body, sneak past your immune system by various ways, enter cells and become dormant. If your cells are healthy, they can become dormant inside your cells. Dormancy is a mechanism by which all microbes use, if conditions aren't favorable for growth, they can slow their metabolic rate down so low or even go completely dormant that they can just stay that way indefinitely. So far I've been able to document this state of intracellular dormancy, microbes getting into our system, sometimes without our awareness, becoming dormant in our tissues and staying there for months, weeks, years. More often years. I've been able to document it for Borrelia, Bartonella, Babesia, Toxoplasma, Rickettsia, Anaplasma.
Coxsackie
virus.
That's a great...
Or Coxsella. Just this whole list of other bacteria, Mycoplasma, Chlamydia. And so it's not just tick bites. We pick up things all through our lifetime. So when we pick up all these microbes and they're dormant inside our cells, inside our body, they can stay that way. And that's what happened to me. I picked these things up when I was a kid. They'd been dormant inside my tissues, along with a lot of other stuff. And then years and years and years of not getting sleep and just pushing that stress button over and over and over and over again, my cells started getting stressed and these things started to reactivate.
Oh, well, and so doctors don't practice what they preach, right? Like, you guys are truly the worst patients, right?
Well, I think life puts us all in positions, you know? We get stuck in these things and we don't realize what's happening. And it was a lifestyle, you know, that I would have reversed if I could have reversed it. But it just wasn't a practical thing to do at the time. So these microbes reactivate and they start breaking down your cells and your tissues to create food to grow more microbes. And that's basically what's happening with a chronic illness. But because, you know, so when you look at an infection with a microbe, that's a primary cause of symptoms. But again, symptoms don't happen, all right? So all dysfunctional processes have a cause. So when you have this reactivation of dormant microbes, that's a dysfunctional process. And it's caused by cellular stress. When we, you know, all those stress factors that added up in my life stressed my cells and allowed these cells these microbes to reactivate. And that's fundamentally what's happening with just about every chronic illness there is. I've been able to look at PANDAS that occurs with streptococcus, same thing. So when you look at all this microbe testing that people do, if the microbes are dormant, you're not going to get a positive test. And even then, because they intermittently reactivate, testing is highly variable. But beyond that, there are an awful lot of things that we just don't know about. So I really don't rely on testing that much anymore. I take the course of assuming that they are there and addressing the problem as it stands. And so that's So that's kind of where I am, you know. So all this microbe testing that people do, I found that in most cases, it really doesn't change what they're doing. So when you look at that model of we're going to test to find the bacteria that's making you sick so we can treat that bacteria and then test and make sure that it's gone is a myth. It may be with acute infections, but not with this chronic reactivation because they can go dormant again and then come right back out. And people have this happen all the time. Antibiotics are a particularly bad solution for this because the antibiotics are designed to kill fast-growing bacteria. So if you got a new invasion of pneumococcal bacteria with a pneumococcal pneumonia, those bacteria are turning over about every 20 minutes. But when you look at intracellular Borrelia, it's hardly turning over at all, or even at a maximum rate, it's turning over every 12 hours. So you're just not going to do anything with antibiotics but cause antibiotic resistance and destroy your normal flora. That's a real bad solution.
Yes, agree. I know so many people that have messed up their gut. You know, it's you take the antibiotics and now you have a whole another problem to deal with.
Yeah. Pretty much. So, even people that supposedly are cured from Lyme disease that I've seen with antibiotics have just a range of different problems that are related to all the gut dysfunction they've had. It's unusual to find somebody that's had a long-term positive result with that, because you'll never eradicate these microbes. They're dormant in your system. You will not wipe them out. Your goal is healthy cells and dormant microbes. So when you look at all these dysfunctional processes, another way to think about it is all the processes in the body are done by cells. So all of our cells have a role in processes. You know, our heart beats because of cells. Thyroid hormone is produced by cells. Our brain functions because of cells sending impulses through our nervous system. So absolutely everything is done by cells. And you can think of your cells as little microscopic machines. So every cell in our body is an independently functioning unit. Now, they all work together because they're all synchronized with hormones and signaling agents, but they each function independently. And like any machine, they have very specific operating requirements. And this applies to any cell on Earth. All living things are made of cells. So all cells need basic things. All cells need the right nutrients. All cells need a clean environment that's free of toxic substances and harmful radiation. All cells need downtime, sleep, to recover. All cells need good blood flow from regular physical activity to flush away metabolic waste and bring in nutrients and oxygen. All cells need protection from microbes because these microbes are our cells' archenemy. And a lot of our cells scattered throughout our body have dormant microbes inside. They're now calling it the dormant tissue and blood microbiome, which is really an interesting thing to research. Looking into all the studies that have been done on this are just fascinating. So cellular stress is at the root of all dysfunctional processes. If cells are stressed or injured, they can't do their job. And they can't do those processes, so those processes start to break down. Cellular stress is the root of inflammation. Cellular stress is the root of hormone imbalances. Cellular stress is the root of all symptoms and all signs of chronic illness. Cellular stress is the root of reactivation of dormant microbes. So if you're getting to your cells, then you've got a solution for wellness. It's really, really practical. So it means you don't have to know about all these esoteric, crazy functions going on in the body. All you need to do is know how to keep your cells healthy and keep your cells healthy, and they're going to do all that work for you. It's that simple.
And you know what? I think that the toughest one that you just listed is keeping the toxins out, right? Because our world is just toxic. The other stuff, like, you know, sleep and diet and exercise, like all that, like, you know, that's pretty basic. We can do that, right? But yeah, figure out how to stop bringing these toxins in, you know, and it's hard living in the world that we live in today. You know, we've got all this 5G out there. We've got all these, you know, bleaches and cleaners that we clean with. And then this food that is supposed to be really good. It's really, really toxic for us, right? Like, so, but that's got to be, you know, maybe the hardest thing to do, figure that out. And then maybe we got the answer, like you say, like you truly make it sound very cut and dry and very simple. I love it.
Cut and dry, simple, but you know, it is hard.
It's
work to do.
It's still a process.
And it takes a certain amount of personal accountability to make decisions to follow down this pathway. But it works, and that's where herbs give you an enormous edge that no drug or anything else can do. I think everybody looks to herbs as being just weak versions of drugs. So they're really apples and oranges. So drugs treat dysfunctional processes. Herbs treat cellular stress. If you treat cellular stress and reduce cellular stress, then cells will recover. That's what healing is. The healing is the ability of our cells to recover and regenerate in the body. There is no drug that actually promotes healing. All herbs promote healing because they reduce cellular stress. So herbs, all herbs have antimicrobial properties, but it's different than an antibiotic. Instead of being a single chemical, it's hundreds of chemicals. And these chemicals have it's a system. It's like a defense system that has intelligence. So the herbs are selective for pathogens, but not just bacteria, viruses, protozoa, yeast. But they don't disrupt our normal flora. And because there's so many chemicals involved, we haven't ever seen resistance to herbs. So that when you take an herb, you're affecting a lot of things all at once. So even a lot of things that you don't know about or that we can't test for are being suppressed by the herbs. Now, it's not like you take an herb for 10 days and it wipes out everything like they say they can do with antibiotics, with Lyme disease, which just doesn't occur. It takes months or even years. In my case, I took herbs for a long, long time to suppress these things. But at the same time, the herbs are neutralizing free radicals, toxic substances, protecting cells from radiation, protecting cells from all of these stress factors that have become so prevalent in our world. So yeah, you have to do your share, but taking herbs gives you an enormous edge that you just can't get otherwise.
Yeah, I love that. And you know, you said that some people think that, you know, these herbs are not powerful like antibiotics are, you know, totally different thing, right? But yeah, so it really is true that these herbs can be really, really strong and you really can overdo it, right? I know one of the things that you use, and I'm just going to say this because I think it's kind of, I don't know if it's funny or not, but cemento was one of the things that I was using after I lost my home in the fire in California and I relocated. So I lost all my Lyme medications, my shots, everything I was doing, right? Get up to Idaho, walk into an empty home. I'm like, what do I do? Oh my gosh, I need to find someone that does colonics, right? I need to order some colloidal silver and I need to get some cemento. And that was all my brain could think about, right? Like, let me just get something to keep start, you know, can continue my treatments and then find a doctor and all of that. And I remember the cemento, it was like, do one drop, you know, every whatever. And I did that for a couple of days. I'm like, what is one drop going to do? Are you kidding me? So I put like 5, 6, 7, 8 drops in there. Oh my gosh. That knocked me down for days. And who would have thought? Like, because it was the first time I had ever used cemento. I had used herbs and stuff, but I had never used cemento. And it was really a strong one for me. So it's just a reminder of these things are powerful. Don't think that one drop isn't enough, right? Because it really can be.
Well, it really varies on the product. I mean, I find that most people do need pretty high concentrations of the phytochemistry. I think what you experienced is just that initial reaction, but that of that particular product, that, you know, that product is cat's claw only, and it's a particular version of cat's claw. It's a pretty concentrated extract, but it's only one. And to I generally advocate, you know, taking a spectrum of formula that may include anywhere from half a dozen to a dozen different herbs, because you get synergy between the herbs and you're covering things with one herb that you're not covering with others. So I think it's always a good idea. And, you know, we always tell people to start slow because of those reactions, but to really get the full response, you typically need a higher concentration of the chemistry that we call phytochemistry of the herb. So buying a better product, buying, you know, having combinations of herbs, I think is really, really important.
Yes, for sure. For sure. And that
and
was
another thing to watch out for, not with that product in particular. People have heard, oh yeah, if you get a reaction to it, that's a great herb. It's really working. I found a couple of herbal products that they actually put herbs that would be defined as poisonous to give people that kind of reaction.
Ooh.
Not that I'm aware of it in that particular product, but I have seen products that I have found that kind of surprised me.
Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, not all brands are, they're not treated equally, right?
Like, right.
So you really need to, you know, don't just jump on Amazon and start ordering stuff. Like, you know, you got to really know where your stuff's coming from for sure.
Sure.
Yeah. And we can get a lot of things from your website, correct?
You know, it's we use standardized concentrated extracts, and I use a combination that I've just honed over years. It's based on some of the more commonly used herbs, loosely based on that original Booner protocol. That since that time, we've had studies through in institutions like Johns Hopkins that have really verified the validity of the antimicrobial properties of these herbs. And surprisingly, they were actually better than antibiotics like doxycycline or cephalosporins, which was, that was a big eye-opener for everybody.
Yeah,
so the herbs are well documented to have the power you need to actually suppress this. But again, it takes time. This healing process takes months or years for a lot of people. For me, it took years. And I kept having to, you know, at that time, I was trying different kinds of herbs and I would run out of things and I was constantly sorting things around. And, you know, so it was a learning process. But, you know, now I look back on it and I realize that the herbs were doing a lot more than just killing a bacteria that I thought was making me sick. And again, you know, if somebody presents with all the symptoms that they would define as chronic Lyme disease, but they have a negative test, I just assume the microbes are there. I just don't put a lot of faith in the kind of testing that we do. And I don't find it necessary when you're using a comprehensive herbal protocol because it covers so many bases as far as microbe possibilities.
Yeah, and that makes sense because, you know, the testing there, you know, it's not very accurate. There's still only two labs, you know, that I really truly trust. My personal thought, of course, and it can be expensive. And so a lot of people will go off of just a clinical diagnosis. And I think you have to kind of nowadays, right? So we really don't need that blood test. Like a lot of us are just so determined to spend that money to get. And I'm not really sure that it's necessary. And you're kind of saying,
yeah,
it's not.
I think a lot of people feel they need the verification so they will be recognized by physicians. And what they don't realize is they're not going to be recognized by conventional doctors because they don't accept the diagnosis of chronic Lyme disease. And the Lyme doctors are going to put them through a pathway. And there are a lot of good Lyme doctors, functional medicine doctors, et cetera, out there. But a lot of them will rely on very, very expensive testing and therapies that can be quite costly.
Yeah.
And I just found in my journey and working with literally thousands of people that for most people, that is not a necessity. that it shouldn't cost a fortune to recover from chronic Lyme disease or fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue syndrome. But the fact of the matter is we live in a world of concentrated cellular stress factors, what you mentioned earlier, you know, and this idea that we're seeing more and more Lyme and more chronic fatigue and more of these different kinds of illnesses and autoimmune illnesses and everything else. And it's because our food is contaminated and we're eating really bad processed foods. And we're getting chemical contaminants in our food and our water and the air we breathe and skin products that we use. And none of us are sleeping enough. I put high priority on sleep, but average in America, 6.5 hours, that's not enough. And we're not moving like we should. And so, you know, we're all picking up these microbes, but probably as the world has gotten busier and people are traveling more, we're spreading more microbes around. And so we're more exposed than we ever have. So we really need these therapies, herbal therapy, like never before. It's really important now. And I think, you know, those are the reasons why we're seeing more illness. And then you go to the doctor and you're just getting drugs for symptoms. And, you know, but the good news about chronic Lyme disease, fibromyalgia, these illnesses that we've talked about is, like we said in the beginning, there's a high potential for people to regain normal health, that they can recover. And that's not always the case. You know, we talked about the case of multiple sclerosis. I heard about a physician that sees a lot of multiple sclerosis patients, and he's found that Borrelia is present in every single one of them. And Borrelia has found to be associated with demyelination. People with neurological symptoms in Lyme often get, they have symptoms that are very similar to multiple sclerosis, and they have demyelination. So I started asking that question, why do some people just have chronic Lyme symptoms and other people progress to MS? So that's where genetics comes in. I found a study the other day that found that people with MS have a variety of different mutations that puts them at higher risk. So when they're exposed to just the wrong factors, just the wrong microbes, etc., then they have a higher tendency to progress on. So once you do reach a diagnosis of multiple sclerosis, you've had enough permanent damage in your nerves that you're probably not going to get all of those functions back. Where someone at the level that hasn't been diagnosed but has some of those symptoms, there's a pretty high probability that it's reversible. You know, the damage isn't extensive enough that if they're really aggressive with the herbs and the diet and getting sleep and all these kinds of things, they can reverse it all. So again, that workup to see where you are, to make sure there's not some hidden thing of hidden damage that isn't reversible, is really important. And if fortunately, you know, if you're one of those who goes through that full gamut of workup and it's all basically negative, can't count your lucky stars, you know, because you have something that is highly reversible. Don't worry about it. What the medical system does is treat people who are really, really, really sick because they're using high potency drugs. And if you're not that sick, you can reverse your situation, and you should feel very, very fortunate.
Yeah, for sure. And I, you know, excuse me, on my journey, like I feel a lot of people that have Lyme either have kind of like the neurological part of it, or they have like the chronic pain and that type of things, right? And yep. And then some of us are overachievers like myself, and I had it all, right? The neurological, the pain, I had everything. Like I was bedridden. And so I feel that my case was, I was pretty sick, right? And I am literally, so February, March, April, May, 3 years, 3 months today, completely symptom free and in remission.
Yeah, that's great.
And it's amazing. So, you know, I think that that's a good piece that the listeners, you know, need to hear a couple of times, that you can get well. You really can.
Yeah.
But you've got to be your advocate. You've got to want it. You've got to find your why you want to do this. And you got to put in the work, because it's not easy, but you can do it for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it is really, really important to make that case that, and again, it doesn't have to be ridiculously expensive. If you gain knowledge, you can do the things that you do. All the things that you need to recover are available outside of a doctor's office. And, you know, so I think that's really important. But you do have to stick with it. You know, healing takes a long time. The body has to rebuild itself. You know, you have to calm that microbe frenzy inside your body, but, you know, that allows your cells to recover, and that healing process is cellular recovery that takes time. So it's a gradual process. You just have to keep at it and keep at it and keep at it, and it gets better. And once you get to the point of being able to hold it, you know, I'm just really vigilant about my health habits now and very perceptive of my body. You know, your cells are always talking to you. They're telling you what's going wrong. And if you're listening and paying attention, you know, every time a little symptom pops up, it's like, okay, what's going on here? And how do we adjust so we can get past that, so it doesn't become something significant? And you just get better and better at that kind of troubleshooting. And that's what being healthy is all about.
Yeah. And I'm really glad you said that, because you don't need to be a doctor, right? Like, you, when we go through this Lyme journey, the one thing that I think all of us end up with is we're really in tune with our bodies. And when something happens, your body's telling you something. When something is off, something is different, and I mean, it could be so minute, right? But your body's telling you something. Don't ignore it. You know, you've got to listen to it and figure out what it is, or it can certainly become a bigger problem. But there's a reason you're having a symptom of whatever it is. Your body's saying, hey, pay attention, because this is going on, you know? So let me ask you this question, because I think I hear this a lot as well. And there may not be a cut and dry answer for this. I don't know. So a lot of people will talk about, you know, we already figured out this is not, you know, quick journey. You're not going to get better in a month or 2 months or even 6 months probably, right? Like, it's a journey in itself. When do people know, or how do people know if a specific protocol is working for them? Do they keep doing it for, you know, 10 years and then nothing changes? A lot of people ask that. Like, is there a time frame on specific things that maybe a certain herb is not, you know, really good with your body and it's not working in your benefit? How do you know that?
Yeah, I think the first thing is making sure you're picking a solution that matches the problem. And I think when you look at a lot of therapies out there, they're not well matched to the problem as I have described it. Herbal therapy is a good match, but doing all the things that you need to do. And there are many things outside of that that you can do to accelerate or boost that journey. But, you know, if you've been doing something 3 to 6 months and you have seen no benefit, it's time to reassess, because you're not hitting the right buttons to get there. And, you know, but it's comprehensive. I mean, you have to look at the different things that are going on. And I always go back to the 5 stress factors, you know, and if you're not moving forward, I tell people, ask this question. Is it something in your diet? You know, is it food sensitivities and gut issues? Is that a problem? Is it something in your environment? You know, do you have hidden mold that you've got chronic exposure that is keeping your system suppressed and keeping your cells suppressed? Are you getting the sleep you need? And, you know, are you calming that sympathetic overactivity that's driving so much of this? Are you moving blood? And for people who can't exercise, sauna is really important. And are you getting what you need in your system to suppress the microbes? Are you getting the right phytochemistry and herbs to suppress the microbes? And different people have different symptoms because we all pick up different types of microbes through life. I always tell people it's not one microbe. If you have chronic Lyme, you've got reactivation of a lot of different things, many things that we don't even have tests for right now. And the scientific literature is really, really showing this to be very, very true. If you're not making progress, you need to troubleshoot and ask the question, why are things not moving forward? But that's not how people think, you know. I mean, I can't tell you the number of people that I've talked to, and I get on a consult with them, and it's like, okay, you know, my recovery stalled. I'm not making any progress. Here's when I got diagnosed. I've done all these things. Should I be doing this next expensive therapy? And it's like, no. Let me go through your history and see what's going on here. And I go down that list, and it's like, oh, you're only sleeping 4 hours a night. You're not going to make any progress until we get you a full night's sleep, and that's consistent.
Yep.
And you do that first before you do anything else, because you're not going to progress until that's fixed. Or, oh, you know, I'm living in a moldy house that I hate, but I'm stuck there. And it's like, well, we're going to have to fix that, or you're not going to make progress, you know? So sometimes we miss the things that are most obvious, because in the back of our mind, we know that's hard to deal with and we don't quite know how to deal with it. So we run off and chase some other kind of therapy, and that's human nature.
Yeah.
And I think we're all that way. You know, I mean, when I was in the thick of this, I really, really desperately wanted to walk into a doctor's office, have a test, tell me what's wrong, give me a drug, let me walk out of here with a prescription so that I can go on with my life.
Yeah, we don't have time for this. Who's got time for this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, but what I can say is, for most chronic illnesses, that's a pipe dream. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. But I'm glad you touched on that again. So, you know, those listeners out there that you just heard it from Dr. Rawls. So, you know, 3 to 6 months, the needle's not moving anywhere. Reevaluate those five things that he's mentioned a couple of times and see, because, you know, some people just don't think diet's that important. Some people don't think sleep is that, and it really is. I mean, you've just broke it down for us, you know, in English terms, why it is and what it does to our body. If we can't get that, it's you're not going to improve.
It's really simple.
Yeah.
Everything that happens in your body is done by cells. If you have symptoms, it's because your cells are stressed. If you have inflammation, it's because your cells are stressed. If you have hormone imbalances, it's because your cells are stressed. And for most chronic illnesses, including chronic Lyme, the thing that you know, you have things that add up to cause cellular stress and then reactivation of microbes. But once you, you know, I'd use the analogy of a pot boiling over. You know, we all have some of these things going on. We all have microbes in our system of different kinds. But if we're young or we don't have very much stress going on in our lives, we're all kind of like a low simmer and we don't have symptoms. But you keep adding factors in and that pot starts boiling. And by the time it's boiling over, you've got microbes reactivated throughout your body that start breaking down your cells and tissues to create a food supply to grow microbes. So your body shifts from a state of healthy cells to a state of severely stressed cells and microbes that have been reactivated that are using those cells as a food source to grow more microbes. And that's what chronic illness is. And so you have to think in those terms of how you can suppress that, because antibiotics are not going to do a good job of that. Antibiotics do a great job of killing fast-growing bacteria. These things aren't growing fast enough. They're dormant. They're reactivating. Sometimes, you know, you're not going to have a positive test because, you know, there's not enough of them that are reactivated. And this is constantly erupting in your system.
Well, you truly, like, I said it before, and you just broke it down so elegantly for us, right? Like, it makes such clear sense. And it doesn't mean it's easy, right? And we still have to do our part. But yep. You really kind of just dissected it out like I've never really heard. So that's just fantastic. I love it. And I'm glad that we had this topic today, because it is a huge thing, right? Like, especially in today's economy, you know, we just can't afford to do all these things and run down all these rabbit holes and do all these next things. And somebody wants to sell you this modality and this, and, you know, oh, well, that's not going to work, but here, you know, buy this $1,500 thing. It's going to, you know, change your life. And it's just hard. It's confusing. Our brains don't work right. Like, that's part of the problem. And some people literally will just shut down and they're like, you know what, if I can just stay at this level of illness, like, I can function forever this way. Right. No, it shouldn't be that way. Like, you sharing this and breaking this down, I really hope, and I know that it will. There's the listeners out there, the light bulb's going to come on, right? And I really think that it can just be a game changer for them.
Yeah, it's been a big eye-opener in my life that, you know, the healthcare system, the whole thing is made up of well-meaning, good people who have been taught a system that is, when you look at diseases like chronic Lyme and fibromyalgia, somewhat flawed. But the system as a whole, you know, when I started this 30 years ago, the system, you know, doctors owned their practices, hospitals were nonprofits, and now it's all for-profit. Doctors are owned by hospitals.
It's a broken system, for sure.
Hospitals are owned by large corporations, and they are driving a system to optimize profit. And people are getting caught in the middle of that. But the solution is, you don't have to go that way. You know, I still have health care insurance. I still go for a physical about every 2 years. My blood test, my cholesterol, better at 67 than when I was in my 40s.
I love it.
you know, and I need those people in case of emergency or something unexpected happened, but I don't use them very much. And my goal is to use them as little as I possibly can.
Nope. And I'm exactly the same way. Like, there are, you know, my doctor's a naturopath, but there's a time and place for it, right? There's a time and place for an antibiotic, maybe. There's a time and place to do these things, but it just never should be your first option when you're dealing with Lyme, and hopefully not an option, right? Because unfortunately, most of us don't have that acute Lyme. It's chronic, because whether it's dormant for years or you run down the rabbit hole of trying to get a diagnosis, it's just most of them are chronic issues. So, has been fantastic. I cannot thank you enough for joining me again and just sharing all this knowledge and what you've done and the work you've put into it. And we need doctors like you in this community that are for us, right? Not against us, for us, and not for that profit. You know, it's really huge. It sounds serious, but I'm sure I can speak for all those listeners that we are truly grateful for doctors like you. We really are.
Well, thank you. I mean, it has, you know, at this point in my life, I've acquired all this knowledge over all these years, and it's, you reach a point and you go, this wasn't just by chance, you know, this was supposed to happen to me, and I have a job, I have a duty to share this information. So I appreciate opportunities like this to get the word out and help people understand things a little bit differently.
Yeah. And that's what we need. We got to be open-minded and listen to things. And again, you know, we're not telling you it's an easy journey, because it's not. We both have been down this road, right? But it's a possible journey. And it's a journey that doesn't need to be your financial demise at all. And you just broke it down for us. So super appreciative to you.
Well, thank you.
I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. If you would like to help me get your voice heard and spread this podcast, please go to the Patreon link in the description, and any donation is welcome, just simply to help cover the studio costs.